Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Tonight I'm going to be in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Tonight, I'll give you just a moment to find your place. And as you do, maybe you've got a word of testimony. Maybe you have something special on your heart tonight. Maybe you've got a praise report you would like to share. This is an opportunity for you to do so. Okay, very good. Romans chapter 5, and I'll begin reading with verse number 3. The Apostle Paul says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word tonight. Hope. We see hope is the main word. If we could say there was a main word to this passage, we could say, and very easily so, that it is hope that Paul is writing to and wanting to encourage the church at Rome to maintain and keep hope. But there are some things that are associated with hope that we must understand tonight. There are some things that he brings to front about hope. And first is glory. Glory. God is talking about glory. Well, what is glory? When we think about glory, what comes to mind? Jesus, maybe? His transfiguration? Maybe. Maybe it's the prophet standing in the temple and the glory of God fills the temple. Maybe it's the tabernacle and the mercy seat, and the glory of God resting upon that mercy seat. Well, glory, as it's used here, is a word that means to rejoice. Now, that may catch us off guard when we read that in perspective to the verse. We rejoice in tribulation, Paul says. Now, tribulation is exactly what it means. Trouble. Actually, tribulation is a word that is used for pressure. It is pressure like that. It is squeezing an olive or squeezing an orange or squeezing grapes. That is tribulation. That is the meaning of the word that is used for tribulation. So there is rejoicing. Rejoicing is in tribulation. Well, that's exactly what Paul is saying. And when we stop and when we think about it, and we think about the perspective of God's Word in our life, we see the reality of that. Because it is during times of tribulation when our faith is tested. It is times of tribulation when our doubts are running at their strongest. It is times of tribulation When our hope is struggling to hold on. I told you at the beginning of this about the prayer request for the inmate down at the prison who said, we need some hope. I know you can't, unless you've been inside of a prison setting, you can't really grasp the reality of his remark. Because it is a setting that is very depressing. It is a setting that is very restrictive. It is a setting where by the intent they try to drain the hope out of a person in order to prevent and hold back the violent tendencies that some of them have. And then there are some that as they get their lives in order, they find Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they realize what they have been. They realize what God has saved them from, and they are looking for hope in Him. And that hope comes from their tribulation. Our hope comes from our tribulation. When I'm looking at the church tonight, I see a church many times filled with people who have no hope. And I often wonder, as I have read this passage and I have studied it, I often wonder, the reason we have no hope is because we have no tribulation in our lives anymore. And when we stop and think about it, when we hold ourselves in comparison to other people groups around the world, we don't have any troubles. Stop and think about it, and let's just be honest. Let's just analyze it and compare ourselves to what others in the world are going through tonight. We don't have any troubles. We don't have any wants. Anything that we want, we can go online in a matter of a few seconds and a couple of clicks of a mouse button, or we can pick up a telephone and we can dial 7 to 10 digits on a telephone, and we can talk to someone on the other end, and we can have it coming via UPS overnight, and we can have it the next day. And if it's something other than that, or something different than a physical, tangible item, we can download it and have it immediately. We don't have to wait on anything anymore. We are a people who are used to having what we want, when we want it, the way we want it, the color we want, the size we want, where we want it put, and arranged in the manner that we want it arranged in, and we have it now. We don't have any waits. We don't have any troubles. We don't have any tribulations in life. And because of that, our hope lies in ourselves often, and it doesn't lie in the Lord. But when we do have tribulation come into our life, the opportunity is there for the glory of God to shine through, and for us to be rejoicing. Rejoicing in that tribulation, because that is when we get the closest to God. When the doctor can't provide us a prescription that answers the problem. When the paycheck, not enough, it doesn't cover. There's too much month at the end of the money. There's no hope. When there are difficulties at work, when maybe the jobs are going to be eliminated or cut, maybe the work schedule gets overbearing and gets difficult and hard, and there's tribulations and troubles that come from it, then we wonder, where is the hope? But then, as a child of God, we realize that hope comes from Him. When man can't provide relief, when I can't provide relief, when you can't provide relief in your own lives, there is God. And the passage moves on with a few other key words. There is patience. Patience. And there is experience. Well, patience is just exactly what it says. It is the ability to wait. It is endurance. When we have troubles and trials and difficulties that do come into our lives, we have to wait on God to answer. And sometimes God holds off on that answer intentionally and on purpose. Remember the whole adage about answering prayer? It is yes, no, and not now. Sometimes God will say not now for patience, to give us the ability to endure, but to endure in faith, to build us up, to help our faith increase, to build us up in our walk and our relationship with Jesus Christ, to help us grow, to help us develop a better testimony, a stronger testimony. And from that patience will come experience. And experience is something that is very necessary and very needed. If you go back again into the originals, and if you look at the Greek word that's translated there into experience, it actually means character. Character. Tribulation and patience builds character. It means proof. It goes back to the old blacksmithing trade. This is a Greek word that comes out of the blacksmithing trade. And it is the proofing of metal. Where you put it in the fire, you heat it, and then you pound it into its shape, and then you cool it, and then you heat it again, and you pound it into shape again, then you cool it over and over and over again and again and again. It is the proofing of that metal so that it is hard enough and capable enough and stable enough to endure its use. That's what tribulation does in our life. It doesn't matter if we are an inmate in the prison serving a life sentence, or if we're retired, or if we're getting up and going to work in the morning, if we're healthy, or if we're sick, or if we're injured. It makes no difference. We have those tribulations and troubles in our lives, but God has them there to build character. Proof. And it all comes down to this answer. Hope. It is the hope of salvation. It is the hope that we have faith in Jesus Christ. It is that strength that we have. Because it is talking about, Paul is talking about very vividly and very, he's illustrating it very well. He is talking about and leading up to our testimony as a Christian. When we feel there is no hope, that we have no hope, that is when God is working the greatest in our life to build our testimony and our character to show who He really is through us. It is there at that point in time where He is building you and I up to be the testimony and the witness to someone out here in the world that is lost, someone out here that is struggling, someone out here that is searching. Someone like that young man that I was talking to earlier in the week who almost had tears in his eyes looking for something to hold on to. Looking for something to get him through. I had an opportunity to sit down and talk with him at depth and at length about his walk with Christ. He is a new convert. I recommended a few of the programs there to him and a few of the people that come in. We talked, and he was worried about things in his family and things about his wife who was on the outside and was waiting on him, and all of these struggles and all of these tribulations, all these things going on in his life. I worked with him and we talked. I left him with Jesus. Because that is the only hope that any of us have. It isn't that he is any more needing of Jesus than I am, or that you are, or that anyone else is. But God had brought him to a point in his life when he realized it. When he realized the only thing that he had left in life that he could come to was Jesus. God brought him to the point where we all need to come to. Every one of us need to come to that point where there is nothing else that money can do. There is nothing else that people can do. There is nothing else that governments can do. There is nothing else that lawyers can do. There is nothing else that anyone can do except Jesus. And when we come to that point where we've got nothing but Jesus, we realize the troubles and the tribulations were there just to bring us to Him. Because that is where our hope lies. That is where your hope will lie tonight. when those times come. And you know what? They may not come in your life specifically, but they may come into the life of a loved one, of a friend, of a neighbor, of a coworker. They may be struggling and coming into their life, and you may be able to take this message tonight and this piece of Scripture tonight, and you may be able to let God work it through your heart and work it through your life, where you have the privilege of offering someone else the hope that comes through Jesus Christ. Because in verse 5, Paul starts drumming it down and bringing this hope into a perspective that we can all see. Hope makes us not ashamed. We have nothing to be ashamed of with hope, because it is being poured out. It is being poured out all over us. When we see troubles and difficulties, when we're having to endure them and endure life, when we're having to have our character tested, we're being forged and we're being tested in the fires of life, we realize there's nothing to be ashamed of, because we are being poured out. It is being shed among. That word shed is a very important word, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God is being poured out. When we read in Scripture of Jesus shed His blood, that's what it's saying. It was poured out on the cross so that we can be saved. Jesus was poured out like a drink offering. The love of God is poured out across those who are in tribulation, those who are having to endure, those who are having their character built. That love is being poured out across you. It can be poured out through you to reach that person who is struggling as well. You're being prepared. You're being gifted with all of the tools that are necessary to reach into the hearts of those who come into your homes and come into your lives, who are hurting and who are struggling and who have questions and who have tears in their eyes, and they have nothing else that the world can offer to hold on to. Everything has been exhausted, and they're looking for that last piece of hope, that last thing to grasp onto that may actually be the key that helps them through the next day. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And for the Christian, it is in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, through who or which is given to us. We are prepared to share it. When I say prepared to share it, we're gifted. We are given all of the tools that are necessary to share it. Hope. Hope is something people are looking for tonight. It doesn't matter if it is the folks in Texas who are recovering from a hurricane, the folks that are in Florida or in Puerto Rico or down in those areas recovering from hurricanes. It doesn't matter if it's the wildfires in California. It doesn't matter if it is the tornadoes in the neighboring towns and the windstorm damage that's in this community. It doesn't matter if it's the drugs and the alcohol. It doesn't matter if it is the pornography and the immorality. It doesn't matter what it is tonight. There are folks that are out here and they are hurting and they feel helpless and they're looking for hope. And that hope only comes through Jesus Christ. And it's the same Jesus Christ that you have in your heart, and you have the tools to share it. You've been through the tribulation. You have the endurance. You have the experience, the character to share that hope. God gives us the encouragement tonight. He gives us the encouragement. He gives us the tools. He gives us everything that we need to share it with. And tonight I send you away. I send you away with a thought of looking for those folks who need hope and have for them those words that Christ would place in your heart to help them, to encourage them, to lift them up, to point them to Him. Not point them to themselves, not point them to the government, not point them to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. They have areas they can help in. But hope in Jesus Christ is going to answer the problems of the world. And it will set this nation back on a course, in this county, back on a course where it needs to be tonight. But it's only going to come through Jesus.